Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. And then if you'll glance down at verse number 12. Apply thine heart unto instruction, and thine ears to the words of knowledge. Then verse number 17. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. And finally, verse number 19. Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this opportunity to preach your word. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that it would be done so with profit. And Lord, that your people will be helped and blessed. And Lord, I believe that there is a real key to maturing in Christ, to growing up in Christ. And Lord, I pray that it would be seized upon by those that are listening. And Lord, that we'd all be helped and blessed. And we thank you, Lord, for what you allowed us to see already today, the great blessings, the wonderful decisions. And Lord, the complete change of eternal direction for 10 young people, Lord, as they woke up this morning or on their way to hell, and now as they'll pillow their head tonight, heaven's their home no matter what happens. And for that, we're truly grateful, God, for these young people that have come forward to dedicate their life to you. I pray, Lord, that you would take their life and use them. Lord, help them to stay on track and stay in your will and to do what they need to do. Now bless us here tonight, Lord. Please meet with us. Lord, I know not all of the needs of the hearts, but I know that you do, and I pray that you would fashion this message to fit each need. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 7 and verse number 12 and verse 17 and verse 19 all give us instruction concerning our heart. And I believe that they're uniquely tied together. I don't believe God put all of these verses in this chapter by accident. I want to preach a message that I've entitled, How to Think with Your Heart. How to Think with Your Heart. Or How to Have Intelligent Biblical Emotions. How to Think with your heart. I think you'll notice verse number 7 does not say, for as he feeleth in his heart, so is he. I think a lot of times when we think about the heart, we think about emotions. Well, how do you feel in your heart? How do you really feel down deep in your heart? But the Bible doesn't talk about feeling with the heart. It talks about thinking with the heart. And I want to give you a little Bible formula that will help you in your Christian life and help you to mature and to grow in grace and to grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ and help you to be an effective Christian that keeps things on track and is not blown around with every wind of doctrine, not thrown every time some little thing comes along. If you'll learn to stop feeling with your heart and start thinking with your heart, then you could be helped today. There's two different ways that people act, or two different things that I've noticed in the course of dealing with people. And there's two stages, and I think one is a stage of immaturity, because you see it a lot in children, and you see it a lot in adults, I'm sorry to say, too, but there's a better way, a way of maturity, a biblical way, to act or react when things happen. Immaturity faces a circumstance, or sees something happen, or hears about something, and takes two steps. Now listen carefully. If you miss this, young people, look right up here at me. You ought to be looking at me. You ought to be listening. I can help you tonight. Immaturity takes two steps. Number one, they see something. Let me set the thing. They see something, or they hear something, or they experience something, and they take two steps. They feel, and then they react to feelings. Now you'll see that in a child. And our job, by the way, as parents, is to teach them and to train them that that's not the way you react to situations. You can't spend your life basing and acting or reacting based on emotions. The biblical way and the Christian way, and I think the mature way of dealing with any circumstance, is when a circumstance comes before you or a situation comes to your attention or you see something or you hear something, is to, number one, think, then feel,
then act.
Let me give that little outline there an extra word on each one. Here is how we, who hopefully by now are mature Christians, should react. When you're faced with something in life, number one, think scripturally. Number two, feel appropriately. And number three, act wisely. Now you ought to write that down somewhere. You ought to get that into your heart. You ought to get that into your mind. Did you hear what I said? Immaturity feels, and based on emotion, reacts. But maturity in the Christian life sees something or hears something or is faced with some circumstance of life or some trial or heartache or burden, and the first thing they do is think with their heart. They think scripturally. Then, based on the scriptures, they feel appropriately. They have the emotion that they ought to have based on scripture and not based on human weakness. And then they act wisely. Now let's see these three steps outlined in this chapter. In verse number 7, we are challenged to think in our heart, not feel in our heart. Now look, if you will, in verse number 12. Apply thine heart unto instruction and thine ears to the words of knowledge. Here's the verse that teaches us to think scripturally. So when something happens in your life and you're confronted with a circumstance or a situation, do not let your first reaction involve emotion. Your first reaction ought to be, and you got to train yourself to do this. This is part of discipline. This is part of maturity. Your first reaction when confronted with a problem or a crisis or a circumstance or a situation is the number one, think scripturally. The Bible tells us here, apply thine heart unto instruction and thine ears to the words of knowledge. Listen, when you are faced with a situation or a challenge, boy, your mind ought to be going back through the files just as fast as it can go, and you ought to be carefully examining every Bible principle, all of the instruction that you've received up to this point in your life, everything that you know that the Bible says about this particular thing you're facing, and you ought to first of all decide, what does God think about it? What does God think about it? A mature Christian starts with thinking, not feeling.
Yes, you're right.
And then when they think scripturally, I'm not against feelings. When they think scripturally, it produces the appropriate or correct feeling. Too many times we ask somebody, you know, we'll tell them something and we'll say, how do you feel about it? How do you feel about this? Well, how do you feel about it? I got a good question. What's God think about it?
Amen.
And then after we figure out what God thinks about it, let's see how God feels about it. And then let's match our feelings to His feelings.
Amen.
Now this could help you tonight. This could help you. This could change your life. And then when you feel appropriately, then you can act wisely. Now let's look at the second one. First of all, think scripturally, chapter 23, verse 12. Apply thine heart unto instruction and thine ears to the words of knowledge. Now, if you will, let's look at verse number 17. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. Now, here is a wrong, inappropriate feeling or emotion, if you will. And the Bible says, let not thine heart envy sinners. The Bible says, first of all, think scripturally. And secondly, feel appropriately. You know, I'm going to tell you something right now. One of the dumbest, I hope no one said this today or I'm going to make somebody mad, but one of the dumbest, most immature statements that's ever made is this. Well, I just can't help how I feel.
That's right. You're right.
Oh, yes, you can.
Absolutely.
Sure you can. See, because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And if you want to think wrong, you're going to feel wrong. And if you think scripturally, you'll feel right. You'll feel appropriately. Too much of the Christian life is being trying to be lived on emotion instead of intelligence. Boy, we need to be a thinking people. So, Bible says, don't envy. Well, I can't help. Yes, you can. I said, God, listen, God's never going to command us to do anything that he doesn't then give us the grace and power to do. So he said, if you're envying, stop it. Well, yes, you can. Stop it. No, stop it. God says stop. That's a command, so stop. Well, I can't help it. You can if you start thinking scripturally. Because if you think scripturally, you'll feel appropriately. If you feel appropriately, you're going to act wisely. Why do we make so many dumb mistakes? Why so many times do we do so many tragic things? Why do we see Christians again and again just making poor decisions? And because I'll tell you why. They're feeling and they're reacting.
Yes.
Not acting. Because you never act on emotion. You react to an emotion. But you can act on Scripture.
Yes, you can.
And if you'll think Scripture. Boy, this is... Are you getting this? The Word of God's good. This is a good truth. This could help you.
Right.
Some of you are scared to death. I'm taking away all of your excuses for emotional temper tantrums.
Yeah.
I'm taking away all your excuses to walk around as a basket case.
Yeah.
Taking away all your excuses so that everybody can surround you and you've all... No, get it together. Hey, it's time to grow up.
Right.
You know who's going to do the work of God? Mature Christians are going to do the work of God.
Right.
That's who's going to do the work of God. So you learn to think scripturally. Listen, whatever happens, somebody comes to me, we've got a problem. No, we don't. We got a challenge. We don't have problems. We have challenges. I tell them at our Christian school, no such thing as a problem here. We never have a problem in our Christian school. Never. Never have a problem in our Christian school. We have a lot of challenges. Oh, we have a lot of challenges, but never a problem. Just a challenge. And so someone comes in I said, first thing I do is start thinking everything I've ever studied in the Bible about it, everything. How does God feel about it? What would God? Listen, folks, you got to get off this emotional treadmill.
Amen.
You got to stop reacting to emotions. Moms, stop reacting emotionally. Start thinking scripturally. Dads, stop reacting emotionally. Start thinking scripturally. Teenagers, you're old enough to start thinking scripturally and stop reacting emotionally to everything that happens in your life. Paul said, listen, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I thought as a child, or I understood as a child, and I thought as a child, but when I become a man, I put away childish things. And this is a childish thing, to live your life based on emotion. You're supposed to live your life based on the Word of God. So you look in the Bible and you say, what does God say about it? And how does he feel about it? And I'm going to think about it the way he thinks about it. I'm going to feel the way he thinks feels about it. And then I'm going to act wisely based on the Word of God, not on how I feel today. Okay? You getting this? Emotion was never intended by God to be the leader. Emotion was intended by God to be the byproduct of correct thinking. Nothing wrong with emotion. We're going to see in a few minutes that Jesus was very passionate, very emotional, but all of his emotions was based on scriptural thinking.
Yes, it was.
And it led to correct, wise action. Then we look in verse number 19. We think scripturally, verse number 12. Feel appropriately, verse number 17. Act wisely, verse number 19. Hear thou, my son, and be wise. Look at this. And guide thine heart in the way. So we look down on our hearts and we say, heart, you're not allowed to feel until I think. And then when we think about it, and we see, think scripturally about it, then we'll decide how we're going to feel about it. And then when we feel right about it, scripturally about it, we'll act. You don't know how much problems in life that just saved you right there, right there. You don't know how many dumb things that you wish you could take that you wouldn't say if you just do that right there. You know how many days and days of walking around huffing and puffing and blowing the house down and the whole thing you could avoid in your life if you just learned this little outline. Think scripturally, feel appropriately, act wisely. Let's go to John chapter 2 now. John chapter 2. I want to show you some instances from the life of the Lord Jesus Christ where we can see him following this biblical outline. When Jesus became flesh, folks, he became human. Took upon him the form of a servant. He became flesh. He didn't cheat. You're not going to be able to one of these days go up and say, well, Jesus, yeah, you know, I know that none of us live perfect but you don't understand. You cheated, you know. He didn't cheat. He came down and lived a perfect life through the power of the Holy Spirit of God as a man, just like he expects us to do. Just like he expects us to do. So he didn't cheat. That means he, and by the way, he says this. He says, there's nothing you've been tempted with that I haven't been tempted with. But he thought scripturally, and he felt appropriately, and he acted wisely. He had emotions. But his emotions was not the engine of the train. Scriptural thinking, being led by the Holy Spirit of God based on scriptural instruction was the engine of the train. And the next car was feelings, and the last one was correct actions. So we see John chapter 2, verse number 13. You think Jesus was without emotion? And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and changers of money sitting. Now he walks into the temple one day and he looks around what does he see? But they've basically taken the temple of God and they've turned it into a flea market. Literally. They've changed it into a flea market. The merchants found out that the Israelites needed to have sacrifices in order to sacrifice to their God. So some ingenious Jewish people said, I know what we can do. Let's go set up shop right in the temple, and they can buy their stuff right there and take it right in and sacrifice. We can make money, and they can get right with God, and everybody will be happy. And Jesus walked in there. And then the Bible says in verse 15, and when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, poured out the changers of money, and overthrew the temples, and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my father's house and house of merchandise. Verse 17, and the disciples remembered it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten him up. You say, well, Pastor Jerry, Jesus just lost his temper. He just got mad. He did not lose his temper. This was not an action based on emotion. This was emotion based on scriptural thinking. Matter of fact, in other portions, he even in his rebuke quotes the scripture that he saw being broken that made him angry. He said, the scripture says that my house is to be a house of prayer, and you've made it into a house of merchandise. And Jesus, when he saw something unscriptural, got mad about it because he thought scripturally about it and he felt appropriately about it. And by the way, we ought to be mad about sin. There's some things we ought to get mad about. But it should not be an emotion that causes us to react. It ought to be scriptural thinking that produces an emotion of anger at sin and then causes us to act wisely in contending for the faith and standing up for what is right. Now, he didn't lose his temper. He chose on purpose to display his temper. He didn't react. He carefully acted. In fact, he even took the time to sit down and craft the appropriate weapon. Amen. Right. Yes, he did. Good thing there wasn't a 5-day waiting period on whips, you know. Put the thing together. He knew what he was going to do. He's thinking of the scriptures that were being broken. He said, you know what? It's time to act. Why did he do it? Well, he lost. No, it wasn't emotional. Listen, folks, you can't live your life basing your actions or reactions on emotion. You've got to base what you believe and what you do and what you stand for on this book. You say, well, sometimes I just get mad. Well, there's nothing wrong with getting mad. We ought to get mad about some things. Now let's just decide what we're going to get mad about. How are we going to decide what we'll get mad about? Well, here's a unique idea. Why don't we get in the Word of God and why don't we study everything that God's mad about and everything that Jesus ever got mad about, and we'll decide from now on that the only things we're going to get mad about is the same things God gets mad about.
Yes, amen.
And if God's not mad about it, we'll stop being mad about it. Of course, we wouldn't be able to be a bunch of emotional ninnies then. That'd take all the fun out of life. Are you listening to me, folks? What I'm talking about here is maturity. I'm talking about maturity. I'm talking about growing up in the Lord. I'm talking about stop reacting based on emotions, but start thinking scriptural and then feeling appropriate based on scriptural thinking. If you're going to get mad about it, you better have a verse. If you can't find a verse, then just stop being mad. Amen? If you say, well, Pastor Jerry, God's mad about the good, then just be mad about it. Same things make you angry? Oh, yeah. You don't believe it? Ask the kids to go to our school. There's things make me mad.
Sure.
By the way, same things that make God mad. Yeah. See, I decided, listen, folks, I'm going to tell you something. For 10 years, and I've fallen so short of the time I ought to have spent in this Bible, but for 10 years, in a 10-year stretch, I absolutely dedicated myself and lived in the Gospels. And I don't do it as much, but for 10 years, I spent thousands and thousands of hours getting to know Jesus, seeing what he did, thinking about why he did it, examining his life, trying to understand him, getting happy when he got happy and getting mad when he got mad and weeping about what he wept about and getting excited about what he got excited about and being impatient with what he was impatient about. And that's the way we're supposed to live. I wish I could say I always am on target. I'm not. But that's the way we're supposed to live. Amen. So if you're going to get mad about something Jesus got mad about. If you're going to get mad in something. Listen, think and then feel and then act. That's maturity. Let's go to Mark chapter 4. Here's a 1998 resolution. 1998, I'm going to only get mad about something that I know God and Jesus gets mad about. Here's another one. I'm only going to worry about the things that the Bible tells me to worry about. Mark chapter 4, verse number 35. And the same day, when the evening was come, he said to them, "Let us pass over to the other side." And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was, in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they wakened him, and said unto him, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, "Peace be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he's not done. And he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, "What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" We got two groups of people. Well, we got a group of people and we got the Lord Jesus Christ. In the midst of a storm, waves are high, think they're going to sink. They're fretting and carrying on and worrying themselves sick. And Jesus is in the back part of the ship with his head on a pillow, sawing logs, sound asleep. Why? Because he decided, all right, we're in a storm. Now, I'm going to first of all think scripturally. Am I right now in God's perfect will? Yes, I am. I expect God's got a reason for this, and I expect he's able to take care of me. Good night. Do you know you don't have to turn into a basket case at every little thing that comes into your life? What? Do you know God's in charge? You know God knows what he's doing? You know, if you think scripturally, then you can feel appropriately. A storm doesn't have to bring panic.
That's right.
Did you know even in a storm you can have peace? So decide, say, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go through the Bible. I'm going to make a Bible study first of this year, and I'm going to write down everything that God commands me to worry about. All right, make sure I get them all written down here. I'll go through the Bible, and I'll do a careful study, and I'll write down everything God says to worry about, and then every time something comes into my life and I'm tempted to worry, instead of just having an emotion and then reacting on that emotion, I'm going to think scripturally. I'm going to go to what I've studied at. I'm going to check the list of all the things in the Bible that God says I'm supposed to worry about. And then if it's on that list, then I'm just going to worry. Okay? But if it's not on that list, that long list that you're going to find in the Bible of all the things God says to us, if it's not on that list, then I'm just going to trust God. Oh, Pastor, that just sounds too easy. Christian's life's not as complicated as we want to make it. It's just not. You think scripturally. You feel appropriately based on the scripture, and then you act wisely. Let's go to Matthew chapter 26. Verse number 47. I'm only going to get angry at the things that God and Jesus has commanded me in the scriptures or by example got mad or angry about. I'm only going to worry about the things the Bible lists to worry about. And I'm only going to be mad and hateful towards the people that the Word of God gives me permission to be mad and hateful towards. Chapter 26, verse number 47, Matthew. While he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came with him, and with him a great came, and with a great multitude, with swords and staves, from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, the same is he, hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master! Can you imagine that? That little secret code going here. Tell you what, I'm going to go up and act like I'm his buddy and haven't seen him in a while. I've been out doing some things for him and I'm going to act like it's so good to see him and I'm going to lean over and kiss him. But that guy I kissed, that's the one you want to jump on and arrest. Okay, this guy's a snake. He's got 30 pieces of silver jingling in his pockets. Sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. He's a traitor. That's what the Bible calls him, a traitor. Judas the traitor. I'll tell you what, he's probably given Jesus enough reason to... Well, let's keep reading. Verse 49. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, what's the next word? Well, I don't know if anybody has ever sold you, betrayed you for 30 pieces of silver, led a small band of soldiers to your house, acted like they were your friend, kissed you on the cheek, and then they jumped on you, arrested you, dragged you off and crucified you. But if that does happen, the Bible says, Jesus just says, friend. Ah, we're mixed up, aren't we? Did you hear what so-and-so said about you? I'll tell you what they said about you. You could grow up. You could start thinking scripturally, then feeling appropriately, and then acting wisely. Let's go to Luke chapter 23. I'll show you something else here. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you, what you're getting tonight is not the sincere milk of the word. What you're getting is meat. And it's time that we grew some teeth and got rid of our baby teeth and got some incisors and started getting into the meat of the Word and biting off chunks of it and chewing it up and digesting it and growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and getting some strength to us and getting some maturity to us and some stability in our Christian life and stop walking around in a tizzy all the time. Luke chapter 23, verse number 33. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But somebody said they didn't like your dress, and you're mad. You're going to be mad for 6 months. You hate their guts.
Somebody said, hey, did you have a bad hair day or beauty salon closed this week, huh? As soon as we get out to the car. Now, folks, if you want to live that way, go down to Walmart and get you a pacifier and get you a bottle and get you a blankie and curl up in a corner somewhere and spend your whole life being a baby Christian. But folks are going to say unkind things, and people are going to say things that aren't very nice. And you know what? What did Jesus say here? He said, Father, forgive them for what? Do you know most people that are unkind, most people that are like that, are going to treat people like that, they have not, they either aren't saved or they haven't matured to the place in their Christian life where they know any better. You got to consider the source and you got to obey the Bible anyway and love those that revile against you and persecute you and keep your heart right and think scripturally. How would Jesus think about this? What does the Bible say about this? Well, then that's the way I'm going to feel about it. And I'm going to love them anyway and I'm going to pray for them anyway. And if I can, I'm going to help them any way I can help them, and I'm not going to hold a grudge and I'm not going to seek revenge and I'm going to act wisely. Think scripturally, feel appropriately, act wise. Let me tell you why so many of our young people end up in trouble and out of God's will. Because they get struck by an emotion called love, and then they react to an emotion. And then they react on an emotion. They react on an emotion and not stop and think scripturally, and then choose to feel appropriately based on scriptural principle. You see, one of the favorite stories I love to hear Brother Howell say, and Brother Howell's only had, I think, 7 illustrations. He just used them over and over and over. But one of them was, he'd say, one time I was in the car driving with Dr. John R. Rice and his wife, and they were in the back seat, and I was in the front seat, someone was driving us, and he said, I heard Mrs. Rice cuddle up to Dr., he used to call her Dr. John or Dr. John R. Rice, and she said, John, do you love me? He said, well, yes, I love you. Why do you love me? Well, because the Bible tells me to. I don't think that's what she really wanted to hear. You say, Pastor Jerry, that just, man, I mean, ladies out there, that just doesn't float my boat. Now, come on. That's like, she ought to thank God. I think they married well over 50 years. See, if you base a relationship on emotion, it'll change when your emotion changes. But if you base a relationship on the Word of God, this will never change. And folks, everything changes in relationships. Don't kid yourself. See kids around here jumping, they're on a constant roller coaster ride. You know why? Because they deal in emotion and they have not grown to the point where they'll think scripturally and then feel appropriately. Now, you know why you're having trouble with this right now, and some of you right now, you know why? Because I'm teaching something that's directly opposite of your entire lifetime of listening to the wrong kind of music. And this is one of the reasons that you better get off this thing. Well, I don't listen to rock and roll, but I just listen to some of the love songs on there and some of the soft love songs, yeah, that teach worldly philosophies. And say, and all of them have one theme. Follow your heart. Your mom and dad's stupid. Just follow your heart. You know how you really feel. And no one can tell you how you just gotta follow your heart. My Bible says the heart is deceitfully wicked above all things. Who can know it? But I haven't heard that on your station. I haven't heard a song about that on your station. And the devil's just turning out song after song after song on the pop charts, these slow love songs that say, listen, if you feel it, go for it. And God says, if it's in the Bible, then do it. Well, that's not as romantic. Folks, you'd be surprised how romantic a marriage is that's based on the Word of God. I ain't got no complaints. Amen? Think scripturally. Feel appropriate. Well, Pastor Jerry, you know, I love him. I know. I've had married men come to me and say, well, you know, I'm leaving my wife.
Well, I love this. I met this girl. I just don't love my wife anymore. And I love, and by the way, let me say this. There's way too many guys my age. You're pushing 40 or pulling 40, one or the other, like that. Let me tell you something. There's way too many guys getting middle age, and you know what? Next thing you know, they're chasing off some little gal.
You're right.
And leaving their wives. Why? Because they had an emotion. And they're reacting to an emotion. They're not thinking scripturally. If they would keep their heart in their the Word of God and their mind in the Word of God, they would feel appropriately.
Yeah.
That emotion you're chasing will change just as fast once you think you've caught it.
Right.
Don't be fooled by Satan. By the way, teenagers, it's just as wrong for you to do it too.
Yes, it is.
Well, I love them. I'm going to say something. Love is the dumbest reason in the world to get married. I'm talking about as the number one base priority of reason. It's amazing how many of our kids end up loving somebody that's not saved. Loving somebody that's backslidden. But you know what? As soon as they get married, it's all going to work out. No, it's not. You say, but I'm in love. You know what you're doing? You're starting with an emotion. Why don't you get in the Bible and find out what God says about the kind of person you're supposed to look for as a mate in life. And then think scripturally. And you know what? If you'll think scripturally and get into the Bible and think scripturally and then look back at that person, you won't feel the same way.
That's right.
Because the Bible, scriptural thinking changes your emotions.
Yes, it does.
You see. How to think with your heart. Intelligent, biblical emotions. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask, Lord, that you would help us to fasten these three little phrases into our conscience, Lord, that we would understand what the Bible is teaching here. I pray that this would salvage some young lady or some young man tonight, Lord. Pray that they would begin to think scripturally and based on the scriptures, feel appropriately, and then to act wisely. And Lord, I pray, dear God, it wouldn't just be young people that would benefit, but help us all to mature in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and become stronger and better and more stable Christians. It's not blown around by every emotion, but stand firm on the Word of God, on its principles and precepts, and base all that we feel and all that we do on the Holy Word of God. Now, Lord, I pray that you'd bless this invitation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.